This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's time to tee it high and let it fly on the Tee Florida.
I demand satisfaction.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the 19th Hole Studios inside Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.
How about a Prescott?
Bringing you the week's coverage of all things golf.
He's got to be pleased with Dad.
From PGA to NCAA. And now...
Well, we're waiting.
Let's tee off with Mike Rickard, Oscar Gamer, and John Rieger.
Good afternoon, and welcome to On the Tee Florida. Two pros in the hack and the humor squad on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Networks On the Tee Florida, live on RadioSt.Pete.com today, and of course, the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. We're in our Ice Pick Vodka Shipyard Brewing and Sea Dogs Brewing studios live on top of Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on a little sultry day out there, Tom Gribben in the house.
Very hot, high atop Ferg. You're looking down at 100 degrees. Everybody's going over to the Rays game. I'm watching the Open.
Yeah, and we're watching a couple of young aspiring ladies. We got Leah, and now she's got a challenger. That's the next Annika Sorenstam up here on one of our simulators, folks. And then in the house, he started with us last week. Jeff Ward's kind enough to come down.
Welcome. He's our golf fitness expert.
Well, and he's a golfer.
Yeah.
What's going on, my man? Welcome to back to the show, and I appreciate you taking time to come down today.
Thank you for inviting me back. I really appreciate it.
Well, I told you, anything you want, you get.
I can tell that Jeff hasn't been working with Phil today. Did you see Phil look like he weighed 25 pounds more? Must be that Saudi eating.
Well, he went on a bizarre diet. We're talking lefty Phil Mickelson.
Oh, yeah.
Today at the Open, and he actually didn't play too shabbily.
No, but didn't he look very heavy to you?
He looked heavier because the last few times we've seen him, anything you've seen him is from a social media perspective or any footage, he really looked thin.
Yeah, he used to, but today he looked.
He's spending that LIV money at the restaurant.
Exactly. Well, talking about money, he's our money man, and he is John Rieger. He's back in St. Augustine Beach up north. What's going on, my man? Thanks for coming down last week. We had an absolute blast with Patty the Cart Girl. And, of course, Bill Butner, who's in North Carolina. Terry McNally will make an appearance. But thanks for coming down last week. We had an absolute great time, man.
Well, it was an absolute blast to be down there in the Ferg's 19th Hole Clubhouse. And I can tell you that I'm just going to get this out of the way right now. It's time for Wild Bill's Golf Weather Report. And in St. Petersburg, Florida, right now, just outside your door, it feels like 103. So, Tom, you're right, baby. It is hot as Hades out there, but the Oreos in town, and we're going to melt those birds tonight with the Rays. But I've got to tell you something about inside the Ferg's 19th Hole Clubhouse. It's a sweet, smooth 72 degrees with low humidity and no breeze. So it's great to be on the Tee Florida radio show again this week. That was Wild Bill's Golf Weather Report, brought to you by Yank and Crank, Extreme Fine Fish and Fashion.
Yeah, he is our, of course, resident pro, Bill Butner, the former PGA player and the coach at Eckerd College and St. Pete College. He has got the month away up in North Carolina. He'll be calling in quite often, but not this week. And then you said our cart girl, the queen of cocktails, is a little under the weather.
Patty, the cart girl, has a cold and didn't want to come down and give it to us. And she heard John wasn't going to be here, so she decided to take the day off.
Yeah, John, even though Jeff Ward, he's happily married, though, thank God. That would have been a nice tandem, a couple of young folks. We could have been like the dating game here.
Well, they just left us high and dry down there, so I guess it's you and I and Tom, right? And maybe Carrie will make an appearance tonight, but we got some great guests coming on tonight. And, Mike, I know you're going to bring us up to speed on that, but we got some spectacular interviews coming up, and we're going to talk about the Open Championship on the John Rieger Report. Later on in the broadcast.
And we're going to talk about everybody's picks from last week for the Open. And it's not looking great right now, but it's only day number one. But as you mentioned, we do have some great guests. I'd like to do a local conversation each week, and then we'll do a national. And this week we're going to talk to Kenny Betts, Mangrove Bay. You've probably run across Kenny several times, both of you gentlemen. And Kenny's going to chime in about 5:35. We'll talk Mangrove, Twin Brooks, just the world of local golf, and he's got his finger on the pulse. And so we'll talk to him. And then in the second hour, I spoke to you a little bit when we were doing some show prep. Gene Elliott. And much to Tom's chagrin, Iowa gets brought up again in this conversation, but it's a great story.
I love Iowa. I love corn.
I converted him. Anyway, Gene Elliott, who has won the U.S. Senior Open in 2021, and he has won the British Senior Open, just got back from across the pond. I believe he finished 22nd. He'll join us as well in the second hour, and he's played Royal Liverpool, and that'll be some great conversation as well, John.
Absolutely. In fact, I put out the John Rager report this afternoon right before we went on the air talking about our live broadcast, our interview with Gene Elliott tonight. And I put a link in there, and he's a member of the Iowa Sports Hall of Fame, obviously. And I tell you what, I read his bio, and it's unbelievable. This guy has an incredible Hall of Fame career and has done something very special in the game of golf. So we're looking forward to getting his take a little bit on the Open Championship, since he's won a major amateur championship, the British Senior Amateur, across the pond over there. He might have some insights on what's going to happen the next couple of days.
Well, a lot happened today, and I'm one of those goofballs, fellas, that I actually I got up at 4 o'clock, 4 a.m., set my alarm, Jeff, like the nerd that I am, golf nerd. I suck at golf, but I got up at 4 a.m. so that I could stay on top of it for you guys. Knotted off about 6, fired her back up about 7:30, and I have watched almost the entire day, and it's been some interesting golf. And why don't you go over that leaderboard for us, John, because a very big surprise, literally big, 6'8" surprise, on top of that leaderboard, the Georgia Tech Yellow Jacket, and a very impressive performance by an amateur. We haven't seen an amateur on top of the leaderboard, gentlemen, for 28 years.
Yeah, it's an incredible story. Christian Lambrecht, he's from South Africa. He's 6'8", and he won the British Amateur. Okay, so the junior version of the British Senior Amateur. He won the British Amateur, and they do call it the British Amateur. The only championship that's not called the British is the Open Championship that we talked about last week. But he's 6'8", and he plays from South Africa. And not only does he get to play in the Open Championship, he gets to play in the Masters and the U.S. Open next year. So this is no fluke. This is no Cinderella story. This kid is probably, as when he turns pro, will be one of the top players in the world. So he shot 5-under, which was a magical round today. But a story brewing also in second tie for him at first place is Tommy Fleetwood. Now, Tommy's from Southport, which isn't too far from Royal Liverpool, so he's a local favorite. I mean, he has just brought in the huge crowds out there. Everybody's excited to see him play. He's tied for first. Also with Emilio Grillo from Argentina, who's at -5 also, and won the Charles Schwab Series Cup there over in Europe. And so I can tell you that that's a star-studded tie for first place. And if you go down the leaderboard just a little bit, you got lefty Brian Harman from the United States at -4, then tied for seventh since he had won the Open Championship years ago, and he's nearing senior golf status, is Stuart Sink. He's tied for seventh. He likes golf over there. And Max Homa, the other American there at -3, tied for seventh also. So you got to be -3 to be in the top 10 of the Open Championship. And later on the broadcast, we'll talk a little bit more in depth about some of the really interesting things about Royal Liverpool, the new 17th hole, which is the par 4 called the Little Eye, and some other fun stuff about it. But that's our leaderboard update from the Open Championship. But Christian Lambrecht, South Africa, -5. He's a storyline with Tommy Fleetwood and Emilio Grillo.
Hey, do you see the top 5 guys are all from the rest of the world? No U.S. players in the top 5.
That's exactly right. This is truly an international game. Now, one of the things that happens, and it is interesting because Lambrecht, Fleetwood, and Grillo, they do play the PGA Tour quite regularly, but Rosner and Otegula, they do not. So they're European Tour players. So it's interesting to see when you start looking at international players, you know, the PGA Tour is truly an international tour, as with LIV Golf. And so it's going to be interesting to see how they all come together for round 2. It's just very early, but you got to wake up early to catch the early rounds at the Open Championship. Plus, if you go to your Apple Store, your Google Play, you can download the Open app, and it's got this thing called the One Club, which is a live blog out there. It's probably the best comprehensive coverage of the Open Championship you can get. You can actually watch it right on your app on your phone.
Well, I've got YouTube TV, so I can stay on top of it as well. But you shouldn't be driving around watching television. I figured that out today a couple of times at a stoplight. Hey, you know, go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, especially in St. Petersburg there, there's a lot of people stopped at the stoplights all the time. You got to honk your horn to get them to move. And by goodness, you just exacerbated the whole situation down there in the St. Pete traffic jams.
That's every day down here, John.
Yeah, that's just a fact of life in St. Pete and Treasure Island. Hey, you know what? I tell you who else is happy. Any Georgia Tech graduate fellas, because they got Stuart Sink, who was a Georgia Tech grad as well. It must be something about height. The kid's 6'8". Stuart Sink is 6'4". And I love his story because Stuart Sink, you know, he always has one of his boys on his sons on his bag. He's just got that calm demeanor. And I think he's going to stick around and remain in the top 10. He'll remain in the conversation the rest of the week.
Well, you know, golfers these days are a lot taller. I mean, it really is something. You know, I had the great privilege of spending 25 years as the announcer on the first tee over at the Tampa Senior Tour event, which the Champions Tour hosted there from 1988 to 2013. And one of the things I noticed is as the years went on and the players kind of progressed, even to the point that some of my junior golfers were out there on the Champions Tour, I kind of knew it was time to hang up the spikes when it came to that. But I can tell you that they just get taller and taller and taller. And the kids today, even if they don't weigh a whole lot, like Justin Thomas, he probably is 145 pounds soaking wet, they're all tall. And that gives a tremendous swing arc, and it gives them the ability to hit the ball, you know, and generate these tremendous clubhouse speeds. And you know, on average, hit 320-yard tee shots. So it makes a big difference. Height does help you in the game of golf, and it wasn't always like that. You know, Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, if you're standing next to Jack Nicklaus today, he's shorter than I am. You know, look at him. He looked larger in life when he was on the tour.
He's not shorter than you, John. No offense. I love you, man, but shorter than you?
Jack is not tall.
Well, I know, but well, John.
He's not tall. I'll tell you what, you shrink when you get older.
Yeah, I think I've lost an inch and a half already.
And Jack has too.
Yeah, but John Rager isn't exactly a towering figure, as you gentlemen both met him. But you still got game, baby. You still got game.
Well, it's always good to wake up every day and be in the game.
It was great having you down here, John. That was a lot of fun.
I tell you what, you know, that first 19th hole clubhouse and our ice pick on the tee studio there. It's fantastic. You know, when I walked up there, you know, I have to make a admission to our listeners out there. I've been doing this show a year, and I've never been there. Yeah, you know, the modern technology, the ability to be, you know, right there next to you without having to be there. But I had to come down. I had to see this brand-new clubhouse. When you walk upstairs, you feel like you're in a golf clubhouse. You feel like you're in the 19th hole. And those golf simulators are just absolutely fantastic. I had so much fun last Thursday night watching these players get up there and hit it. Plus, later on in the broadcast, we'll talk a little bit about our Monday Night League coming up. We had an exhibition last Monday night, and now our Monday Night League will kick off this Monday. And if you go to onthetfloridagolf.com, you'll be able to see all about it and sign up for it. Better get in quick. It's starting to fill up fast.
Yeah, we have a big crowd set for Monday. It was fun. Hey, John, wasn't it fun watching Jeff hitting those 10, 15, 270-yard drives in a row right down the middle?
Well, you know, being a PGA golf professional, what we're all famous for is opening our mouth before we put our brain in gear. And what happened was, here's a guy that's probably the premier fitness guy. He is absolutely wonderful. He's helped so many people out there, and he's a physical specimen himself. And he picks out a driver and starts whacking away. And I go, don't you want to warm up and stretch or do something? And he looks at me like, are you crazy or something? And he got up there, and he reeled off like a dozen right down the middle, 240, 250, 270 as he got even warmed up. And then I found out that, yeah, this is genetic. His father was PGA Tour pro and scratch golfer, so I kind of knew that.
We knew something was up when he said, hey, can I go get my driver out of my car?
Well, thank God he did, because we've already destroyed one of the screens by having a kid hit mustard onto it. My goodness, if he went ahead and hit one of our drivers there, and we have quality golf equipment, you know, no less, but I had my golf clubs there. I was a little scared because I got the senior shafts in them. He'd take one swing with it, the head will fly off and rip the screen in half.
I thought he was going to punch some holes through the screen earlier today, hitting some balls. I'm the one that told him to get up there. But, yeah, We got one of our regulars. He's going to be part of the league as well. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I'll talk quickly about the exhibition because it's kind of comical, guys. You know, jacked up I am about the Monday nights. Yeah. Well, we didn't have people signing up yet. Now these guys from downstairs, they all gave me verbals, and I'm actually at home working on my computer. Mark Ferguson, the proprietor, you gentlemen both know him. Mark calls me from Green Bay. He's on a vacation. He said, people are arriving for the league tonight. I said, we moved it to the 24th. I told everybody in the manager meeting. We made all kinds of announcements. And he said, well, just call the bar. So I call the bar and they tell me, you know, these guys are upstairs. He said, but you don't make a big deal out of it. I go, make a big deal out of it. I'll be there. So I got here 20 minutes later. Six great guys. I gave them all some swag. I took some pictures, and then I gave them some race tickets. I left them on the honor system. I said, you guys play against each other. The winners get two tickets to the race. They are absolutely ecstatic about it. And that was our exhibition to launch things this coming Monday, and we're going to have a blast. And I just had a guy sign up that was playing here earlier, and I think we'll probably have 16 to 18, John, and we'll get this thing rocking and rolling.
Well, it's absolutely fantastic. It's going to be a seven-week league. It only costs you $99 to get in. And we're going to kill you with swags and all kinds of fun stuff to do. Plus, you have the opportunity to enjoy Ferg's hospitality there with the food and beverage and play around every Monday night for 7 weeks. We'll go from this Monday, and it'll last all – we'll skip Labor Day weekend, and it'll go all the way through September 11th. So if you go to onthetfloridagolf.com, you'll be able to – it'll pop right up. You'll be able to register. Go ahead and sign up and pay right there and get in. And we're looking forward to bigger and better things with the league. We're already going to have a sellout on the first one. So we'll probably go to a team format the next one so we can double up the amount of players. We'll have two brackets. We'll have the upper and lower, which means the upper simulators right there in the 19-hole clubhouse. And part of the 19-hole clubhouse, you go down the stairs just a little bit, and there's another simulator on the lower deck. So we'll have the upper and lower brackets.
Hey, you're listening on the T Florida. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios, downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. We're right now. They're preparing at the Trop, across from the Trop. It's the Baltimore Orioles in the race. And 6:40 first pitch. Got Jeff Ward in the house. Tom Gribben. We'll have Kerry McNally a little bit later in the second hour. We've got some great conversations. But let's talk a little bit about this course at Liverpool. And, of course, we'll get a report from Gene Elliott. But I tell you what, 82 of those potholes on this track.
Yeah, you know, it looked tame, except for all those potholes.
Well, look tame. John, your opinion is there. Oh, look tame. As Tom and I are talking about, the stimp meter is at 10, 10 and a half. It looked like it was growing fur as they were playing. And that's the kind of speed that, you know, you're used to playing on, you know, a local muni.
Yeah, and the greens are so slow, you had to slug them.
Yeah, you know, the wind did not. They said that they wanted to have the greens that slow because of the wind, and the wind never showed up.
Right,
and it's going to be a challenge the next 3 days. They're expecting, gentlemen, wind, rain. They're not even going out and making a prediction because they know it. The uncertainty, they said, of the forecast. So it was tame today, and 5 under, you know, holds the lead. But it'll be interesting the next 3 days.
Well, if you go to theopen.com, that's where you can find out all this information about the leaderboard and find out about the blog. You can also, on that website, and it's really interesting, I was going through it earlier this week. I was getting excited to watch the Open Championship. And one of the things about it is they have a brand new hole, the 17th hole. It's called the Little Eye. And I can tell you that it's been an absolute bloodbath out there for some of the players. Phil Mickelson made a 5. You had another pro made a 6 today. It's just like a brutal hole. And those bunkers out there, it's usually golf courses, especially over there, those links golf courses, they might have one or two bunkers that are, you know, that are brutal, like the road hole on the old course. Most every bunker's unbelievable. It's a pit, and you really have to have some skill to hit out of one of those. The average golfer would get in and just would never get out of it. And I can tell you that Patrick Harrington actually did a little clinic on the open.com website. You can watch him, you know, show you how to hit out of one of those. You got to do something that's just not taught in golf. You just got to flip the hands and hope for the best and get that ball to almost go straight up in the air to try to get it out of one of those bunkers. And heaven forbid, if you're buried, yeah, you're making double or triple on that hole guaranteed. You got no chance.
Close your eyes because the sand's going to come into your eyes. We'll talk more about this. Let's take a break. We come back. We'll visit a little bit more, and then we'll have a nice conversation with Kenny Betts from Mangrove Bay. We'll be back on the T Florida live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios.
18 holes never felt so good. We're on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill at the corner of 13th and Central across from the Trop in downtown St. Pete, serving Champa Bay for over 29 years, is your iconic headquarters to catch your favorite teams in action with over 95 televisions, 35,000 square feet to serve private parties, game watching events, concerts, and of course all the Rays, Bucks, and Lightning action along with your favorite collegiate teams. Join the party every game at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. On the Tee Florida, Florida's fastest growing premier golf and entertainment show has now moved to Thursday nights from 5 to 7, providing more golf entertainment and inside information from PGA to LPGA, LIV, NCAA, high school, and local events. A show for scratch golfers and fun-loving hacks. Two pros, John Rieger and Bill Butner, sharing PGA Golf Tour insights and tips, along with the hack Mike Rickard, head of the Hack Nation, inserting Caddyshack humor with our talented entertainment team of Carrie McNally, Tom Gibran, and Ice Pick Vodka Cocktail Queen and Cart Girl, the talented Patty Suzette. Tune in to On the Tee Florida, Thursdays from 5 to 7 from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill 19th Hole Clubhouse and Ice Pick Vodka Studios for a chance to win golf passes, swag, Rays Bucks Rowdies tickets, and Ferg's Full Swing Simulator passes. That's On the Tee Florida on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. Streaming on Florida Sports Stream and RadioSt.Pete.com. Tee it high and let it fly with On the Tee Florida and Ice Pick Vodka.
Fred here. Welcome to the Sea Dog Treasure Island, a waterfront brew pub with a golf-inspired menu. Known for handcrafted cocktails and a wide variety of award-winning Sea Dog and Shipyard beers brewed right on site. Now serving breakfast daily starting at 8 a.m.
Chef Charlie here, featuring our homemade family recipes. Come try Big Mama's homemade biscuits and gravy, our award-winning shrimp and grits, and our handcrafted Maine lobster benedict.
Located on the water, just walking distance to the Treasure Island Beach. Enjoyment for all ages. Cheers.
We're on to the next hole. And on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to On the Tee Florida, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. Upstairs, brought to you by our good friends at Ice Pick Vodka, of course, Shipyard Brewing, and Sea Dogs Brewery. Got Jeff Ward in the house, Tom Gribben up on... You're St. Augustine Beach now, right? You're not Crescent Beach. You've upgraded your location. That's John Rieger. And, of course, Matt on the controls. Appreciate that. We've got Carrie McNally on the way, right? Today we, you know, guys, we look like a men's club. We don't have Patty Suzette to keep us in line there, Jeffrey. Yeah, she's accustomed to dealing with the male species. I think
she takes it well.
Yes, she does. And John Rieger, a couple things I was going to ask these gentlemen when they're out playing. You know, we're watching on television these bunkers, and you're a nice stick. I don't know what Tom is these days, but you know he's been golfing most of his life. Do you just dread getting in the trap?
I tell you what, you know who does well in the trap? It's Rory. I mean, if they were all trapped today,
oh my God.
If they were all trapped today, he'd be in the head of the leader pack. I mean, he came out of those traps nicely.
You know, it just would not be an On the Tee Florida golf broadcast if we didn't have another cleanup on aisle 5. And you can't call them traps. You call them bunkers. They are bunkers. They're not traps.
Hey,
just so you know.
They trap guys like us.
British bunkers.
Yeah, a trap is something you catch a mouse with, but a bunker is something that you die in.
Jeff, go ahead and speak.
I think the irony is a lot of the PGA Tour events, you'll see that the bunkers around the greens specifically are so perfectly prepared that a lot of the guys are actually aiming for the bunkers on the long par fives where there's water to the inside or something like that. And in this championship, they seem to be everybody's hitting the ball in the rough on the opposite side of the fairway to stay out of the damn bunkers.
Well, I've noticed that. I mean, that's where Rahm, that's where McIlroy were most of the day, yep, on that fringe in the deeper fescue, I guess, if you will.
Well, I can tell you, you know, for our folks out there that are superintendents, I know that listen to our show, there are some golf courses around the country, certainly some in Florida. One's called Golden Ocala in particular, just north of Tampa Bay area, where they call it the postage stamp hole. It's a recreation of the par 3 at Troon. It's their eighth hole at Golden Ocala. And the construction of one of these bunkers takes a tremendous amount of skill because they have to take sod and layer sod and cut it into the side and dig this thing out. Tremendous amount of maintenance that goes into these bunkers, much harder than the American bunkers. And just look how many there are at Royal Liverpool. But you're right. Anybody who can avoid the bunkers, you're right. Jeff, you're right. You'd rather be in the rough. You'd rather be anywhere else than in one of those bunkers, because if you hit it just too far under the lip of that thing, you're dead. You're going to take a double bogey.
Did you guys see John Rahm towards the end?
Oh, yeah, one to the other.
Oh, my God. I just felt so bad for him. And, you know.
And Phil, he tripped over and wound up in the bunker on the other side, like one of my shots.
Well, you know.
Well, here's what I'm thinking for this tournament. If you notice all the majors this year, last couple of majors, you looked at the Victor Hovland in the PGA Championship. You looked at Roy McIlroy in the U.S. Open. You know, both of them were seriously affected coming down the stretch by hitting it into the face of a bunker. I think somebody's going to be coming down the stretch here. If it's going to be really tight, someone's going to hit in the face of one of those bunkers and lose the tournament. That's my prediction.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, let's take a look at where the three of us and you were after our picks, because that's why I was so disappointed in John Rahm, because I had John Rahm. I went with John Rahm. He's three over. I believe, Jeff, you went with Rory, right?
Yep,
Rory. You're on the Rory train. He's one over.
He's even.
And let's see.
I had Brooks. One under.
You had Brooks, one under. And you had Cam Smith, and he's one over, Mr. Rager.
You sure I didn't have that Christian Lambrecht guy? They both start with a C.
You had the amateur.
I remember that now. I remember, John.
Yeah, you had the amateur. I forgot. Whatever you
know what?
Say,
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. I'm going to stick with Cam Smith, and I'll tell you why. Because just like you were talking about at the beginning of the broadcast, the weather's going to get wet. It's going to get rainy. It's going to get cold. It's going to have all these seasons in one round of golf, Frank Dabilo was talking about on the Golf Channel the other day. I'll tell you what, this may be the lowest round of the tournament. This might be the best conditions and lowest round you'll have for the entire tournament. Would not be surprised if over par won this tournament, one or two over. So nobody's out of it yet, even if you're a couple over par.
I agree. And I think if Brooks has a big day tomorrow, watch out for him.
You are in the Brooks. Well, he's Florida State grad, just like you. And
I don't really like him. I just think he's a good golfer.
Well, and Bill Buettner went with the calm one, Victor Hovland. He's still in the hunt, Victor Hovland.
Yes, he is.
So it's a nice mixture. Yeah, it's a nice mixture of the PGA Tour, the DP World Tour, and the LIV golfers. So they're all well represented up there on the scoreboard.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to the
final leaderboard.
Well, I've got some tee times for tomorrow for some of the people. You've got Tommy Fleetwood. He's off tomorrow at 9:48 a.m. So he goes out a little, you know, that's the late group. These are our times. You know, these are the states. And then your boy Brooks Koepka goes out at 9:37. So you turn on USA Today at 9:37 to watch Koepka tee off. And who else?
Between the first tee off time and the time they come in, John, did you hear him say that today? It was 14 hours, so if you had a ticket, you got a lot of golf.
Well, you know, it's a little further north than us, and it's the summertime, so it stays a little bit lighter later out there. So, yeah, that is kind of a marathon the first two rounds. Then they'll get the cut, and they'll be able to get everybody a little closer together. But you're right. You know, you could be first off in the morning, and it could be perfect conditions, and then you tee off late in the afternoon, and you can have the worst conditions. But it does flip-flop, and we'll see what happens. Especially if the conditions are bad, you see a lot of those red numbers go south real quick.
And, of course, the Brits are calling it a great value for money. For one ticket, you get to see 14 hours of golf.
Well, that's great. So, you know, I saw on one of the memes out there that they were pricing a hot dog. They call them chips over there, which is fries, and it was like a soda or something like that. It was 22 pounds. So I don't know what that converts to. It's probably close to $22 U.S., but that's a lot of money. You know, especially, why are they eating hot dogs over there? I mean, aren't they supposed to be serving fish and chips?
Hey, that's a little harder to prepare in the cart.
Hey, let's talk to a gentleman that's got great hot dogs at his track, and that, of course, is Kenny Betts over at Mangrove Bay. And they're in the house. They've got Jeff Ward. They've got Tom Gribben, and then John Rager's on the other line there. Ken, how are you, man?
I'm great. I'm great. How's everybody doing?
We're doing well. It's you got Orioles and Rays at 6:45, so it's a party here upstairs at Ferg's. And I'm sure that you know, we hear all how busy Mangrove is. Anytime I ask people that come up here to the simulators, where do you play in town? And I'm not kidding you. 50-60% say, you know, Mangrove Bay. And in this incredible heat, as I was saying to you today, it's amazing that people are still coming out and playing in these brutal conditions. Because it's 72 degrees here, and you can play 48 tracks, but they prefer brought that heat, huh?
Yeah, they're doing it.
Hey, Mike, you know, before we get started with Kenny, we need to bring him on properly. For our listeners out there, there's a couple things about Kenny that are very notable. I know that he's a quarter century member of the PGA of America, and that was about 8 years ago, so he's got to be up there about 32, 33 years as a member of the PGA. But more importantly, I was president of the North Florida PGA twice, and one of the greatest honors you could be bestowed as the North Florida PGA is to be the Section Golf Professional of the Year. And Kenny was the North Florida PGA Section Golf Professional of the Year in 2014, and that's wonderful. That means you're the best of the best. You're the pro's pro. So now this is a proper welcome to bring Kenny on the Tee Florida Golf. Welcome, Kenny.
Thank you, John. Appreciate that.
Hey, Kenny, that was his job in the first place, since he knows you and knows your background.
He's the Iowa senior amateur too, right?
No, this is Ken Pez. Look at Gene Elliott.
Yeah, that's the wrong guy.
Senior moment.
I'll take any title if you want to give me that. That's fine.
So
got to go to Iowa to get it, though, Phil.
So let's talk about Mangrove being a city course. It's fabulous because a lot of municipal courses, you know, they don't get the credit, the love, and people wanting to play them as much as Mangrove does because they've done such a wonderful job, and that's impressive.
It's a unique place. We played 87,000 rounds of golf last year, which is unheard of. And we're on pace. We're up 3% this year over that number. So we're rocking and rolling there. The golf course continues to be always in good shape. It's a great value. It's a great layout. You can get around there in 4 hours to 4.5 hours. Our pace is good. and it's home to a lot of residents here and a lot of guests that come from the north, you know, call it their home when they get down there. We've also got two wonderful par three courses, which has really helped out with getting the juniors started. We've got a 9-hole course at Twin Brooks out on 22nd Avenue South, and we've got a 9-hole at Mangrove Bay called Cypress Links. And those golf courses are as a matter of fact, Twin Brooks is up over 20% in their attendance this year. They're going to play close to 40,000 rounds, and Cypress Links plays close to 40 as well. So it's a busy, popular place.
Well, I can tell go ahead, John.
Yeah, one of the things about Mangrove Bay, they have an excellent player development program. They have three great teaching professionals there. But one of them just got his 25-year PGA of America quarter century award. And you know you're getting old when your junior golfers are starting to get these awards. And that's no less than Rick Sopka, one of my junior golfers years ago. At the Bloomingdale Golfers Club, and there he is teaching kids how to play and teaching adults how to play and running that program down there and giving lessons. And he's I know he's got to be over 50 now, so He's got a great beard going, too.
He's moving up to the white tees pretty soon. He's up definitely at the senior tee.
Well, that's a good thing, guys. There must be some interesting games you guys must have once in a while when you guys go let your hair down and sneak out there amongst the 87,000 other people a year. That's really remarkable in this day and age, especially in Florida, to be able to have that many rounds of golf, but also have great reviews about your golf course and your operation down there.
Yeah, very proud of it. The city's very proud of it as well. And our instruction, just to touch on that, we do have Rick Sopp, who's our head teaching pro. We have Jonah Johnson, who has been with us a couple of years now, doing a great job at Mangrove. And we hired Mr. Terry Decker, who was the head golf professional for almost 30 years at St. Pete Country Club. He's teaching down at Twin Brooks now, which is a great addition for us.
Do you get out and play very much anymore? Kenny, do you get out and play or teach much anymore? What do you do with your time now professionally since you've been a member this many years?
I don't play in many tournaments anymore. I play with some guys on Fridays. We try to travel around a little bit. We used to run some really nice trips where we'd take guys, 40, 50. I think we even did it with you, John, when you were up there at what was the last course up there in Ocala?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was the managing partner at the Country Club Ocala for years. And, we enjoyed everybody coming up from Tampa Bay area to come play golf and have a good time. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so we play a little bit. We take a group out to Vegas and play. We try to take a group out to either Scotland or Ireland about every 4 or 5 years. So golf is still there for me. I enjoy it. I don't play very competitively as much as, it's tough.
Well, over there at Twin Brooks, in fact, that's kind of my hangout. And knowing that Terry's there now, I was a cart jockey and then in 2020 over at St. Pete Country Club during COVID. And he actually kept me around to stop in and see him. The only problem I had with him, Ken, was I'm an Iowa Hawkeye and he is an Indiana Hoosier. He went to Indiana.
Oh, yeah. He is a big Hoosier.
He's over the top, these guys think I'm over the top of my Hawkeyes. Well, I tell you what, Terry, you couldn't hold a candle to his passion for Indiana. His bag was an Indiana bag. His car was red.
Oh, yeah.
Made me puke every time I'd walk into the clubhouse to see him. But let's talk about the first tee program over there at Twin Brooks. That's another great addition to the south side of St. Pete kids.
No doubt. Rick Waltman is the executive director. He came up, was an employee of ours, and they went out on their own to be a 501(c), a charitable organization. It was tough to ask for donations and from larger companies when they had to write the check to the city of St. Petersburg. So when we split, they became the first tee of St. Petersburg, 501(c), and they have really flourished from there. They built a building down at Twin Brooks. They have their own area, and we've got kids. They have a bus. An individual bought them a bus, so they go to these inner city schools. They'll pick the kids up. They'll bring them for a half a day. They'll feed them healthy food. They'll tutor them. They'll do golf. They'll go upstairs, and they'll take them home. It's an incredible, incredible program that's going on over there. One really unique thing is they have an eBay store, which they run out of their building. And they basically can almost fund the whole operation with this eBay store. And what they do is they get donated clubs. They'll go up to the villages, and they'll send a note out to the community. Any clubs you want to donate, just leave them in your driveway. They go up with a U-Haul, and they get thousands of clubs. They list them on eBay. The kids get involved with the store and labeling and selling. I'm telling you, they're doing a lot of money. Let's put it that way. They're funding their whole program with it. It's pretty awesome.
Well, we've had Rick Waltman on before, and he brought a couple of the kids and one of his one of his supporters. I want to do that here yet this summer. And I think what now that we've got this clubhouse up here, I think what we should do, gentlemen, is we should have a club drive down here on the T, Florida, and get our audience and the locals and get Ferg behind it and get some clubs for the kids out there. Because I tell you what, even as an old dinosaur, one of the things I love that you guys have done there is you got that canopy kind of to cover you from the sun and the heat. And that's a big amenity to me.
We have that. And then at Mangrove, and John will know this, the Dean Hedstrom Foundation, Dean was a friend of all of ours. He was actually a head golf professional at St. Petersburg Country Club and passed away with melanoma, and his family and friends put a foundation together, and they bought us one. I mean, it's probably 120 feet long, and the kids that have camps up at Mangrove use that on the back of the range.
Yeah, that's a really cool thing. I remember Dean from years ago, and I got the good fortune to be able to play in the first couple fundraising golf tournaments that were put on down there, and a great outpouring from all the local PGA golf professionals. And that's a foundation. That's something to raise money for that does a lot of good. And all of us, especially as we get older, you know, we all have to go get caught on once in a while and have to battle that. And we wish when we were kids we had more sense to stay in the shade more. So that's a wonderful thing for the first tee. Plus, you know, I really like that thing about the E-Day. I had the good fortune of serving as an executive director for a first tee chapter up in Ocala for a little while. And I can tell you that people would bring us clubs, but the kids had clubs. You know, once people donate clubs, you know, we would modify and do whatever we need to do. And we would end up with all these clubs, and we'd try to have a sale. But what a smart way to do it. You know, we can't be out spending Mark Ferguson's money, but maybe, Mike, down the road we can have an on-the-tee Florida golf promotion. You know, maybe we'll have a certain day. It'll maybe be a slow afternoon. If you bring a club, you get a beer and donate the club to the first tee and hit a few balls on the simulator. That would be a good promotion for us.
We'll make that happen.
I think they have over 3,000 listings right now on the web, and it's crazy what sells. You know, it's like someone lost their 9-iron from their 1977 set of clubs, and they want this 9-iron, and they search it and find it.
We know what we'll do. We have a website. We have a website called OnTheTeeFloridaGolf.com. We'll put that link up. We'll get that link to the first tee for you, and get people driving to it, because that's just a wonderful idea. I really love that, and it's a good fundraiser because it's always challenging. I know being the executive director of a first tee to raise money to be able to fund the programs and promote golf to the kids and pay all the expenses and all that kind of stuff. So, boy, it sounds like a winner-winner chicken dinner.
Yeah, they got a good team over there. They got Adam Stuck and Tommy Charlton are with them, and it's a good team. We just ran a fundraiser last Saturday at Mangrove. We have a summer classic, they call it, kind of an adult junior adult tournament. We had a good time at Mangrove last Saturday.
Well, you know, we got Tom Gribben on the show, and he's got Jeff on the show now, his personal trainer and fitness expert, and you know, after a few weeks with Jeff, I think Tom's going to need to buy some new clubs. He's going to need more firepower in his bag. So, Tom, you know where to go to get your equipment.
I like it.
Absolutely. You got it.
Hey, on a lighter note, fellas, before we let him go, it is that time of year. NFL camps have opened up this week, and we know what an over-the-top Buffalo Bill fan you are. You guys going to make it to the Super Bowl this year, or are you going to be left, Cinderella's going to be left from the dance again?
Well, this is the way we like it. Nobody's talking about us. Everybody's talking about the Jets and Aaron Rodgers and the Dolphins with their quarterback. So the last 2 years, all you heard was how great we were. This year, we're laying back a little bit. We're going to be there this year.
Good place to be.
Yep. Just laying there in the woods waiting for one of those teams to fold, and it'll be the Jets, and then it'll be the Dolphins. Well, my friend, I appreciate it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network. It's time to tee it high and let it fly on the Tee Florida.
I demand satisfaction.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the 19th Hole Studios inside Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.
How about a Fresca?
Bringing you the week's coverage of all things golf.
He's got to be pleased with Dad.
From PGA to NCAA. And now...
Well, we're waiting.
Let's tee off with Mike Rickard, Oscar Gamer, and John Rieger.
Welcome back to Hour 2 on this Open Championship week. We are live on the T19th Hole Clubhouse Studio, brought to you by Sipic Vodka here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. I've got my bodyguard alongside me, Jeff Ward, kind enough to come down and join me. And, of course, Tom Gribben had a commitment at home that he had to take care of. And then Patty Suzette, she's a little under the weather, our queen of cocktails. I was looking forward to what we're going to do with her, Jeff, is each week she's going to create a different ice pick vodka cocktail, and I was looking forward to her concoction this week.
Sounds good to me. I'm a big fan of them.
And nice and icy and cold on a day like that.
Nothing better.
And oh, you know what? Now it's time to shift gears, and we are going to talk to an Iowan. Gene Elliott's on the line, and kind enough to take time in Iowa to join us. He's been on the show several times and has had incredible success. John Rieger, say hello to Gene Elliott. Hello, Gene. It's good to get you back on, my man.
Hey, Mike. Nice to be on. And things are hot and humid here in Iowa.
Well, what do you think they are down here? You live down here half the year.
You got those nice ocean breezes, though.
Yeah. Well, I've got that downtown St. Pete no breeze across from Tropicana Phil right now. John Rager's up on St. Augustine Beach. He might have that the breeze that you're talking about that you get. And, of course, I got you on. You just got back from across the pond. You had the British Senior U.S. Open. I mean, British Open. You won the U.S. Open. And let's talk a little bit about your 2023 trip across there. And then I'd like to have John go through your resume. He does a great job of introducing people as they're on the
Well, we actually need to introduce Gene to our listeners here before we get started, because this is one impressive man. And we have an Iowa flavor here, obviously, and on the T Florida Golf, even though we can insert the word Iowa in there. We need to call it on the T Iowa Florida Golf sometimes. But I tell you what great golfers there are from Iowa, and Gene Elliott's certainly one of them. If you go and you Google Gene Elliott and you go to the iowagolf.org, you'll see their Hall of Fame. It's going to take me about 17 minutes to go through his playing resume. But one of the really cool things is, and it's only been a few years ago where Gene has not only won the U.S. senior amateur, but he won the British amateur also. And that's spectacular. That's really something. And for listeners out there, we have the John Rieger Report. You can go to the John Rieger Report on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter, and you can get links to all these great stories. We'll post this up here tomorrow about Gene and his playing career. But probably one of the greatest senior amateur golfers in the United States. And that's who we're talking to tonight here, Mike. So let's talk to Gene and get his perspective now. And everybody knows who he is.
Well, you know, that's why I keep John Rieger around, Gene, to keep me in line. You know how I am. I had the boys up there, Judd Gibb and Horty, taking care of me there. And now I've got pros taking care of me down here in Florida. So let's talk about your trip this past week across the pond. And you didn't finish as high as you wanted, but the weather looked brutal.
Well, thanks for all that nice comments. I'm kind of coming off of a 21 was a storybook year, the kind of year you dream about to win, you know, a USGA and an R&E event in the same year. Those are our two biggest senior majors. And there's only three majors in senior amateur golf, and that's the U.S., the British, and the Canadian senior amateur. And I've been fortunate to win U.S. and British, but I've also won two Canadian. So we count those as majors, and there's only three guys that have ever won all three of those senior amateur majors. So I feel very honored to be in that company. But after my 21 year of winning, and I was hurt pretty much all of last year with frozen shoulder, and then I broke a bone in my foot and had to have surgery and had a screw put in December. So they said I couldn't walk 18 holes for 4 months. So, you know, March, April is kind of when I kind of got back at it. So now I'm starting to get in the groove again and play some golf and quality golf. A couple weeks before the British senior was a tournament out at National Golf Links on Long Island called the C.B. McDonald Invitational. It's right next to Shinnecock, and I was fortunate enough to play well there, and I won. So I was looking forward to the British, but I you know, when you play overseas, sometimes there's a good side of the draw and a bad side of the draw, and I didn't happen to have the best side of the draw. So my tee time the first round was 10 minutes to 3 in the afternoon, and we literally walked off the golf course pitch black at 9:30 at night. So 7 hours on the golf course with the delays and this and that. It was a long, long day. I actually kind of didn't score that bad, but the putter was kind of cold all week just never did get anything going. But you know, I learned from that. That's, you know, a lot of times golf is tournaments where you not necessarily finish high, but you learn something about your game that, you know, time. And so, anyhow, I think I finished tied for 17th over there, with, you know, I had a chance to, you know, maybe have a top five, and I just didn't finish it off. But, we've got our Iowa State Amateur, next week. It's at Glen Oaks here, which is my home golf course. And, then the year kind of gets really rolling for me. I have one more exemption in the U.S. Amateur against the college kids. So I get to get outdriven by 50, 60, 70 yards in that tournament. It's out of Cherry Hills in Denver. And then we got a week off, and we've got the U.S. senior is out in Lake Tahoe at Martis Camp. And then right after that's the Canadian senior. So got a lot of good quality golf coming up, and really looking forward to it.
You know, Gene, there's one of the things you have in common. I know that I've looked at your resume, and you were a professional golfer for a while there. And in fact, it said that you won the Quebec Open and finished in the top 10 of the money list on the Canadian Open. But for listeners out there, Gene's got something in common with Lee Trevino. You know, now that you mentioned that you won the Canadian Amateur, Lee Trevino won the Canadian Open, the U.S. Open, and the Open Championship. So you won the amateur version of that. Not many people, probably you're in a handful of people that have ever done that. So for our listeners out there, we wanted to get your idea and opinion about, and you've played a lot of golf over across the pond. What are these pros facing this weekend at Royal Liverpool as far as, cause, you know, when we watch golf on television, it looks easy, but we know it's very difficult. But we're seeing these bunkers over there. What do you do when you get in one of those bunkers? Have you been in a sod-faced bunker like that, stymied, or have you been fortunate to just miss them all?
Oh, no. That's what I love about playing over there. It's not so much, you know, fly it in the air 157 yards or just knock it down the fairway 300 yards. It's you got to place it in the right position on the fairway, because if you – you know, you hit it in those bunkers off the tee, and you know, you may not even be able to get it out. Here we get upset if we're in a fairway bunker and we can't hit a six iron out of it with a perfect lie in the sand. Over there, you're going backwards, sideways, whatever way you can. You know, you might be on your knees trying to hit it, and so they're basically like penalty shots. They're bunkers over there. you know, if you get a greenside bunker and you get too close to an edge where you don't have a backswing I've played in three British senior opens against the pros over there. And I remember it was so demoralizing. I was on a greenside bunker and I had no backswing. I mean, I couldn't, I just flicked it about 4 feet in the bunker just so I could have a backswing. And you're going to make a double bogey when you have to do that kind of stuff. So it's just such great position golf, and you're not just hitting drivers and seeing how far you can hit it and then hitting a wedge in, because you short sighted over there and you make big numbers. You know, when Thomas Bjorn short-sighted it in the British Open 1 year, and you know, he couldn't get it out and lost the British Open right there on the 18th hole because of a greenside bunker. I think it's a lot of fun, and it just makes accuracy. It doesn't matter how far the ball goes. You don't have to dial the ball back overseas because it's where you hit it, not how far you hit it.
Well, you know, I'm going to make an on-air apology to our listeners out there and to Mike and Tom because I was chastising them last week for calling it the British Open, but trying to call it the Open Championship. But we're talking to a guy here, Gene Elliott, who's won a major amateur championship over there, and he calls it the British Open. So that rule is waived. I apologize to everybody. We'll call it the British Open, the Open, whatever we want to call it, because Gene's calling it the British Open. I'll call it the British Open, too.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And he's a University of Iowa Hawkeye, so I'm going with Gene as well, Mr. Rager. You got no shot when it comes to that. I've got Gene's back, and he's got mine. That's how Hawks roll. I have to throw the
Hey,
Hawks
Gene.
In there.
Hey, Gene, I have a question for you.
Sure.
You know, being from Florida here, you know, we see the English tourists that come over here to the theme parks, and they go back home looking like lobsters. And I can see why, because I'm looking every time I've been over there to play. Every time I watch a golf tournament, especially in the middle of July, everybody's wearing a sweater. Have you ever played around the golf over across the pond without a sweater?
You know, I think in 21 the British Senior Open was at Sunningdale outside of London, and it was so hot. I mean, it was 85, 86 degrees, and it was fine playing golf, but when you go back to the little place you rented, it's about 100 degrees inside because the windows are all closed and they don't have air conditioning. My wife and I ended up buying three fans that week just to have some air circulate in the place.
Well, did the fans' arms wear out by, you know, it's hard to find people off the street to wave fans at you all night. Did their arms wear out?
No. You can play in any kind of weather there. I have had some good weather, but a lot of turtlenecks and wool sweaters and that kind of stuff.
Gene, give us a word of advice. Give us a word of advice for our golfing listeners out there, but especially for kids. You've had a long, accomplished career in golf. It's no accident. I know you have to work hard at that. I know you have a lot of talent, a lot of skills. What one skill do you think that you can attribute to your success over all these years as both a professional and as an amateur golfer?
You know, I think to be successful at any level in golf, you have to have a lot of composure. I relate golf to life. I don't mean to get too serious, but you know, in golf, you get good breaks and bad breaks. You have things happen that necessarily shouldn't happen. And it's the same thing in life. And it's how you handle it. You know, if you're going to get so upset about, you know, kicking it in the rough or kicks in the pond or whatever, it's going to affect you the next few holes. I just think if you can compose yourself and try and stay on an even keel, there isn't too much club throwing in the old days of the Quad Cities Open and some of the characters that did, you know, stuff and uh, speed up tee markers and things like that. But, you know, I just think, you know, controlling yourself, controlling your emotions and your composure, you know, you're miles ahead of the guy that isn't.
Well, yeah, there's a lot to be said for that. I tell you what, I know that with Mike Rickard, he's got the patience of a gnat. And I can tell you that I'm not sure if he's got a complete set of clubs in his bag yet.
Attention span of a gnat. Hey, before we go any further in this conversation, I want Gene to share with the audience who his caddy is and who helps him keep that composure and who is there every day of his life. I think it's a wonderful story.
Well, when we go overseas, most of the places don't have caddies, and there's no golf carts over there. And so my wife, she pulls the trolley, and she usually doesn't say a lot. And if she does, that means I'm usually in trouble. But a couple years ago, at the British Senior Amateur, when I won, I had a 4 or 5 shot lead, and I let it slip away with some bogeys, and I knew it was getting close, but I didn't know exactly how far. And I had a 10-footer for birdie or for par on the 17th hole, and she was cleaning my ball, and she was watching for the live scoring on her phone, and all of a sudden she came up, gave me my ball, and she says, "You need to make this." I went, crap, I've let this tournament slip away, and, you know, but anyhow, so thankfully I poured that in the middle, and I parred the last hole and won the tournament by a shot. But I was almost scared not to make it. She was so, she said, "You need to make this." I'm like, okay, I will. So, but no, she actually had a very, it was a very tough week a week or two ago in England. And with the weather, we had 2 umbrellas going and trying to keep stuff dry she worked her tail off. She learned, you know, that high salary that I pay her, she earned every penny of it.
Hey, we're talking to Gene Elliott, one of the foremost amateur golfers in the world, and proud to know him from the state of Iowa, played at the University of Iowa, and then got involved in his family business, and then his career propelled as he hit that magic mark of the Champions Tour age group, and he's been on top of his game ever since. Let's try to pin a couple of your favorite memories. You've got so many victories, it's tough to pinpoint, I'm sure, you know, which one meant the most to you. But the back-to-back, of course, the British and the senior in the same year, is monumental. And you'd already won the Canadian. But was there any other one that had a lot of significance in your life and that you really appreciated more than the others?
When I was, playing mid-amateur golf against a lot of the college kids, I won a tournament called the Porter Cup in Niagara Falls, New York. There was back, that was in 98, and I was, 36 years old. And, you know, back then, a lot of mid-amateurs, you know, could compete against the college kids. We could beat them quite a bit. That's not the case anymore. The college kids are all better than the mid-ams. You know, there's a handful in the country of mid-ams, but I mean, the college game is so strong. I mean, look at the guy leading the British, the Open Championship right now. The Porter Cup, I've got the article and everything. And if you look at who played in that, It was Adam Scott and Lucas Glover and Ben Curtis who won the British Open. And, I mean, it was just a list of who's who, but they were all, 18, 19 years old. The Porter Cup has a lot of history. Ben Crenshaw won it and Jay Siegel won it 3 times. And, a bunch of tour players, Verplank, and I can't remember them all, but a lot of when they were younger, won and then went on to have great PGA Tour careers. But that was a very memorable. It kind of put me on the map nationally for amateur golf. And
that was 1998, right? 1998.
Yeah. And then 1999, I qualified for the U.S. Amateur, and it was at Pebble Beach. And 99, Tiger won by 15 shots in 2000. And they hadn't played Pebble Beach in a lot of, you know, they would maybe every 10, 12 years. And so 99, they hadn't been there in a while. And they had the rough so high and playing. We played Spyglass one round and Pebble one round, and then they cut to 64 for match play. Well, I was the medalist, 312 guys, and I shot even par, and I was the medalist of that number one seed. I lost my first match, but it was just an honor to be medalist at Pebble, you know, and in that kind of a field. So, I've been so blessed and gotten to play so many great places but those are two of the highlights throughout my career.
Hey, you know, that
had to be an expensive venture though, because everybody and their brother would probably want a logoed hat or shirt that year from you. Your pro shop bill must have been astronomical.
Yeah, there's nothing cheap at Pebble.
Hey, let's get your input on this 2023 Open Championship. And as I'm sure you watched today's action, and you know, you're talking about the bunker play and going sideways. You know, there's the world number two and the world's number three. Both basically, you were saying you might have to make shots on your knees. That bunker almost took Rory and John and put them on their knees at the end of today's round. How do you see things coming at by the end of the week? Weekend, we've got some inclement weather come in that they're all accustomed to for the most part, I'm sure. But give us your perspective, give our audience your perspective on the next 3 days, Gene.
Well, it looks absolutely wide open to me. There's nobody's way out in front, and you got all the big names, Koepka and Cantlay and Scheffler, and they're all lurking. I'm a big Rory fan. Is our home down in Florida. His dad lives four doors down from us, so we're Rory fans. But it's absolutely wide open. I haven't heard what the weather's going to be like, but it could get. We've had some British Opens at St Andrews where they finished in some lousy weather and. But no, there's a lot of names nobody knows, but there's a lot of big names that are just, two or three shots back. So, I'm not giving you a very good answer, but,
there is no answer.
Pretty wide open.
Yeah, there is no answer. And I know one thing that I am proud of, as an Iowan, you won the 2021 senior and then of course, British and then, our own Zach Johnson won in 2016, and Zachy pretty much came out of nowhere that people did not anticipate him even being a factor. And that's one of the beauties of this tournament and Lynx Golf. Some guys that have a little more composure and veterans, like a Stuart Sink, who's in seventh right now. But when Zach came and won the British, that came out of nowhere. If you remember that.
Well, and his, you're correct. The weather was poor at St. Andrews when he won, and it was also at Augusta, the Masters, when he won. It was a rainy, wet Masters, and he laid up on every par five. There's a Midwestern guy that's used to playing in bad weather, cold weather, and he wins two majors. So. Zach's, he's our poster child for Iowa golf, and we're all, so proud of him. And you could have a Zach Johnson type, if the weather does get bad in Liverpool, you could have a Zach Johnson type finish here.
Well, have you played this track?
You know, I've not gotten to Hoy Lake there. There hasn't been anything in the last, you know, 6 or 7 years that they had there that I could play in. So, but I've played a lot of the, you know, open rotation venues, and they're all great. I really enjoy them all.
John, you got anything?
Well, one of the things I wanted to do for our listeners out there, because sometimes it's hard to describe who we actually have on the air and who they are, really. And what I'd like to make a comment here, I'm reading from the iowagolf.org Hall of Fame. And, you know, Gene was a 2011 Hall of Fame inductee into the Iowa Golf Hall of Fame. And his close friend, Mike McCoy, said that, quote, Gene has conducted himself as a true gentleman throughout his life, both on and off the golf course. He's developed friendships through the golf world and is universally respected and liked by all. And I probably that sums up his career. You know, don't worry about all the different championships. I know he's played in 38 USGA championships, and I can tell you that just from talking to you today, Gene, and listening to your stories and hearing about your golf exploits, you know, we probably can do about 12 hours of an interview with you on our show, because I can tell you that you're a remarkable human being, and we're just so excited to have you here on the Tee Florida Golf.
Well, you're very kind. You know, it's been just a passion of mine. I just enjoy competing, and you know, we've made wonderful friends all over the world, and I've got some good friends overseas, and it's just a blast. And you know, there is something about senior golf is, you know, it's a tight group. And whether we're playing in the States or playing over there, you know, it's a lot of the same players, and it's, we're all dealing with life and getting older and getting hurt and all these things. So it's just a lot of fun. And at the end of the day, we all go to dinner together and have a nice time. So, appreciate you having me on.
Hey, for our audience, you mentioned that you live four doors down from the McElroy's parents. Didn't you say they're just the kindest people in the world, Royce?
Oh, Jerry McElroy is the nicest guy. I mean, you know, I'm fortunate to be a member of Seminole, and you know, they call Jerry the favorite Seminole member, and he's, you know, he's a nice player, very nice player, and I've met Rory a few times, and we're supposed to have a match. Because Rory will play three other guys' best ball, and Mike McCoy and myself and Jerry are supposed to take Rory on. We're supposed to do it last winter, and we didn't get it done. But hopefully this winter, our three best ball against Rory's ball. So,
Gene, on the Tee Florida Golf, we have a celebrity cart girl, an artist named Patty Suzette. We'll get her to be the cart girl, and we'll fix Roy up right away. We'll get to make sure that you guys are victorious in that match.
Well, the last time he did this, Rory was 9 under through 16 holes and had closed out the match. So he's pretty good.
Yeah, he's pretty good, and that's a formidable trio you put together there, because Mike McCoy, of course, Walker Cup captain from Iowa again. Sorry, boys, this is just facts. These guys are all from Iowa. And Gene, of course, your resume, and as you said, his father, Jerry, you guys might give him somewhat of a run for his money early in the match.
Well, we're gonna grind pretty hard. That would be kind of fun to be able to take down somebody like Rory, but you mentioned Mike McCoy. Zach Johnson, Iowa native, is the Ryder Cup captain. Mike McCoy, you know, still lives in Iowa, is the Walker Cup captain. I mean, the stars just lined up. I mean, you can't make that stuff up.
Florida is the golf capital of the world, but I'm learning now that Iowa is the center of the golf universe.
That's correct. You heard it right here, Gene. You heard it right here as we promote those University of Iowa Hawkeyes and our love for corn up there. Well, my friend, this has been a pleasure. I appreciate you taking the time. I know you probably still got, jet lag and you're getting your wheels underneath you, but I look forward to further conversations. Good luck the rest of the year, and you got some great places to go. Go up and win another Canadian championship for yourself, and I'll catch up with you before the end of the year. How's that sound?
Sounds good, guys. I'm going to try real hard. Hopefully this year is a lot better than last year. So we'll talk to you soon.
All right. He's Gene Elliott, and just a great conversation. We'll be back. Jeff and Al and John will we'll talk about our predictions for the next 3 days as well. Might have to modify what we've already chosen. And then we've got the John Rager report, and we'll get a couple more tips. And we got about 20 minutes. It's so quiet in here now that everybody's taken off for the Rays and the Orioles game. It's kind of peaceful. We'll be back on the T Florida live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse.
18 holes never felt so good. We're on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. Want a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season? The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront, ice pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club Rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, serving Tampa Bay for 29 years, voted the Bay's best wings and sports bar, located across from Tropicana Field, is your sports headquarters and private party destination. Weekly live music, axe throwing, dog park, Rays Bucks and Lightning watch parties, every game and 95 televisions to guarantee your favorite team's games are always on. Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, Tampa Bay's iconic sports and party headquarters.
On the Tee Florida, Florida's fastest growing premier golf and entertainment show has now moved to Thursday nights from 5 to 7, providing more golf entertainment and inside information from PGA to LPGA, LIV, NCAA, high school, and local events. A show for scratch golfers and fun-loving hacks. Two pros, John Rieger and Bill Butner, sharing PGA Golf Tour insights and tips, along with the hack Mike Rickard, head of the Hack Nation, inserting Caddyshack humor with our talented entertainment team of Carrie McNally, Tom Gibran, and Ice Pick Vodka Cocktail Queen and Cart Girl, the talented Patty Suzette. Tune in to On the Tee Florida, Thursdays from 5 to 7 from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill 19th Hole Clubhouse and Ice Pick Vodka Studios for a chance to win golf passes, swag, Rays Bucks Rowdies tickets, and Ferg's Full Swing Simulator passes. That's On the Tee Florida on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. Streaming on Florida Sports Stream and RadioSt.Pete.com. Tee it high and let it fly with On the Tee Florida and Ice Pick Vodka.
We're on to the next hole. And on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Well, that was a little Righteous Brothers. I can tell you that. We had little Righteous Brothers in our ear, and one of my... You're too young to probably even remember that song, the Righteous Brothers.
A little before my time, but not too much.
Not too much. John Rager, I know it's definitely in your wheelhouse, the little Righteous Brothers, huh?
Absolutely. You know, I read the historical documents and listen to the archives, and absolutely one of the great groups of all time.
Hey, great conversation we just had. Of course, brought to you by Ice Pick Vodka, Shipyard Brewing, and our friends at Sea Dogs. And across the street, my buddy JJ at John at Shrimpy's, another one of our great clients. And Coca-Cola, Body Armor, and our high school side. But when you're out there on the golf course, you know this is critical, Jeff, is keeping hydrated. And
absolutely, yeah.
And Body Armor is our partner on that. And yesterday, you went golfing, what, Tuesday?
Tuesday afternoon, yeah.
Okay, John, this guy is an animal. Is probably one of the tougher guys I've ever been alongside. I talked to him that evening, and he what was it? He had indexed 103.
Index was 103 on the golf course, and I walked 9 holes. Didn't play 18.
Oh, you wimp! You only went 9. You went 9 holes in that index. And where were you, mainland?
No, it's Bayou.
Yeah, are you? You're a member there.
Yeah, I'm a member of Bayou.
So let's get a little bit back into your background. Your father was involved in the game of golf, right?
Yeah, he toured early portions of the PGA Tour before the PGA Tour with Wayne Levy. Played the New York Open, the Massachusetts Open, New Hampshire Open, all the Northeastern events. You know, back in the day, late '60s, early '70s.
So, did you grow up around here then?
I grew up in upstate New York.
Okay, gotcha. And then you migrated down here. When did you get down to the Sunshine State?
The Air Force took me to Los Angeles in 93. And then I moved out here after September 11th with my personal training business back in 2001. So I'm damn near local. I've been here 20 plus years.
Oh, exactly. And you're never leaving.
No, I don't plan on it.
Okay, so you obviously... grown up in the world of golf and have an affection for it. As Rager and I, we're putting this together. There's got to be a lot of contributions on the health and fitness side. You heard us talking about, you know, and John, you heard us talking about the trailers now that they've got the athletes set up. They've got their own teams.
Yep.
Do you think that overdoing it from a fitness perspective can impact some of the players? Because I certainly believe that's happening in other major league sports.
Well, they're definitely bringing a lot of the stuff in from other professional sports into the golf realm. And the thing with the PGA Tour is the season is really long. You know, there's not a real off season per se like you'd have for a professional baseball player, football player. So, you know, your pro football players and basketball players are going to be playing a whole different routine in the gym, you know, in the off season, either rehabbing stuff or building strength, building speed, all that. But yeah, you can definitely overtrain if you've got an event coming up that's a 4-day event in the heat, you know, if you're training too much. So it's just really important to find that balance between how much you can train, how much you should be, you know, stretching and stuff like that. You're going to do all the time. You talk about the hydration and nutrition and stuff is all the time.
Okay. So we talked about the core. I know John's in my wheelhouse from an age perspective. I don't have a whole lot of flexibility and movement in my shoulders because of, you know, 3 separations on both sides and too many years hitting the heavy back.
Just getting beat up.
Yeah, essentially. What can you do to improve that flexibility? What kind of an exercise for, you know, trying to get some semblance of backswing? Because I know there's a lot of guys in my age group, that, and even if you look at the seniors tour and you look at these guys' swings when they're young men versus where they are now in their 50s and 60s.
Right, right. You see the guys on tour, none of them have got really big shoulders and chest muscles. They want to keep the shoulders and the chest muscles smaller. It's that contributes to that range of motion in the shoulders. So with your shoulder health, it's a lot more about, you know, getting that rotation, getting the keeping the left arm straight as it comes up across the body and the release and everything. So the power in the golf swing is all pretty much in the lower body. You watch these guys on tour, they've got massive legs. You watch them when they're training in the training tour on the Netflix show. They've all got
full
swing. They've all got big thighs and big glutes and big legs, and then their arms are tiny. So, you know, it's all about generating that power in the lower body, transferring it through the core, and then just whip in the upper body. So if you don't have the range of motion to get that whip in your shoulders, the flexibility in the shoulders, that's what you really need to work on more so than the strength.
Are you listening to that, John Rager? There's your health and fitness tip for the rest of the season when you get out golfing.
Well, I'm just sitting here listening to y'all talk about this, and earlier in the show, Jeff was talking about rotation. So I think I'm going to come up. I just thought of something for the first 19th hole clubhouse. workout. Okay, so here it is. So this is what I'm going to prescribe to you, Mike. You're going to get one of those tables of eight, and you're going to get the rotating bar stool, and you're going to sit in it, and you're going to lock your feet in it, so you're going to get that stamina stability that Jeff was talking about earlier to help stabilize that core. We're going to put a Sea Dog brew on the far left-hand side of the table, and we're going to put a Shipyard brew on the far right-hand side. What you're going to do is you're going to stretch over to the left side and take a sip of that Sea Dog brew, and then you're going to gently return to the start, and then you're going to stretch on over to the right side and go ahead and take a sip of the Shipyard brew, and then gently return and repeat four times. And if you do that, that's going to be your first 19th hole clubhouse workout, and that should help you with your rotation and building your core to the extent that you can.
I like the way you think.
I'm all in. But how many reps did you say? Only four?
Want to start with four. Yeah, normally you need 10 or 12 reps to do anything for your muscle grouping. But, four should do it for you. You want to crawl, walk, trot, run. You want to work yourself into it. Plus, you want to be able to stay on the bar stool and not fall off of it.
I'm starting at 12, just like I did last week with the driver.
Yeah, you hit 12. He just drilled 12 right down the pipe, and 12 reps, and you may be crawling out of here, but that's pretty interesting, John. Very creative, my friend. Okay, so let's talk about the John Rager report that you are so diligent on, and our social media is starting to take off, and as we build this concept and expand on it, we'll be doing video here shortly. Get that integrated with Kerry McNally's talents and a couple of my young interns. So, a lot of unique things taking place. Talk about the John Rager report, and then we'll talk open the last few minutes.
Great. So the John Rager Report is brought to you by Sea Dogs Brewery and Shipyard Brewing. And the John Rager Report this week is going to talk about the Southern Company Award. They do the Payne Stewart Award, and they give it out to PGA Tour players. And I'm going to let everybody know, go to southerncompany.info, and you'll see all the information about the Payne Stewart Award. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about it before we announce the local Tampa Bay winner of this year's 2023 Payne Stewart Award. We all know that Payne Stewart died tragically in that jet accident years ago. It was even covered on CNN and all the national networks, and it was such a shame because he had just recently, within the last year, we had won the U.S. Open and made a big career comeback. So listening and reading the Southern Company info, they talk about continuing Payne's legacy, and they talk about Payne's character, charity, and sportsmanship. And they said it went far beyond the ropes. And his accomplishments on the golf course, not only as an 11-time PGA Tour winner and a World Golf Hall of Famer, but he was known for his selfless giving that truly made a lasting impact. His charitable efforts and unwavering dedication to others were unparalleled. And so the Southern Company is honored to continue his great work by helping children and communities across the country. So what they do is they have teamed up with the PGA Tour, and they benefit three charities, the Stewart Family Foundation, the First Tee, the Ozarks, and an organization of the recipient's choice. And before I announce this year's 2023 Southern Company Award, I want to just kind of go down the list of all the previous award winners, and it's pretty impressive. They started this award in 2000. The very first winner was Byron Nelson, and I'm just going to go through all the lists because everyone who's won this is truly a great gentleman in the game of golf and has done a lot. Byron Nelson was the first award recipient in 2000. Jack Nicklaus, then Arnold Palmer, Ben Crenshaw, Nick Price, Tom Watson, Jay Haas, Brad Paxton, Gary Player, Hal Sutton, Davis Love, Kenny Perry, Tom Lehman.